that you're gonna regret.
But if you wanna stay in shape,
well, you better hit that.
Chimwits, Chimwits.
That's right, man.
Welcome to the Chimwits Podcast. I'm Ryan George.
I'm Justin Guild, a.k.a. Chef Sonic.
And we are the Chimwits. All right, so Justin, an important question. Have you been watching Game of Thrones?
I have not. I have been purposely saving up so that I can binge it.
I couldn't do that. Like, how do you know every Sunday that it's on and you can't watch it?
Well, I don't like watching something and then not being able to follow up on an episode if it leaves me hanging.
Up until the last like 5 years, that's how we watch TV.
I know, but now I enjoy binging. I get more enjoyment out of really getting into a show and binging rather than watching it a little bit here, a little bit there.
See, I agree. There's that the short attention span wants to like watch the next episode, but then it kind of all gets muddled into one thing. Like I watch shows like that, and I find that like I can't remember half of what goes on because I've watched like 5 episodes in one day or 10, or like I watched Daredevil, and over the course of 2 days, I probably watched all 13 episodes, and it was great. It was amazing. But then like I barely remember parts,
okay.
And then things get mixed up. And
things do get mixed up. That's okay. I don't mind that. I get my enjoyment out of watching it in a binge fashion. There have been actually studies that say that you get endorphins from doing that.
I'm sure you do, but you can get the same endorphins from watching it once.
But I'm not in that sort of mode where I like watching one thing then it's scheduled. I like to relax. I like to do it on a day when I don't have something. It has less to do with the show and more has to do with my surroundings and my lifestyle. Like when I have a few hours, like, oh, nice, I can watch, you know, I can catch up, watch some Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Like
you know what's good, too? I guess Game of Thrones is a special case because it's one of those shows that's at a different level. But so I also like, I think, when an episode's over, all like the speculation and the podcast, because
sure,
I'll go on, I listen to like three or four different Game of Thrones podcasts. So there's
if
that part too.
The podcast, and if you're into the culture of it, then
but
that
still,
would make sense.
I couldn't know. Like I was in Japan when the first episode came out, and I went and you know, like I have HBO Go, but HBO Go doesn't let you use it overseas. So I had to go and download one of those, like I forget what they're called, but that lets you mask your IP address so that you just so I could watch that episode. Then I realized I probably could have bought it on iTunes, but whatever. It was like I had to watch it. So, you know, I couldn't like wait a week until I got back to New York.
It's the same thing with this, right? If there's a UFC event, are you able to wait till you get home to watch it, or do you have to look at the results?
I have to look at the results.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're a resulter, right? I will wait till I get home. In fact, I will avoid the news. I will avoid,
so you'll avoid
all
like,
weekend
yeah.
so that I can watch
like,
and enjoy it. I'm more of
a,
in the moment rather yeah. than sort of the overall culture of
it's
it.
Funny, I'm having that thing with Star Wars. So the recent Star Wars movie, I was obviously very excited about it, and I pretty much avoided all spoilers. And but now that the floodgates have opened, I'm like on all these Reddit boards and websites looking at all the spoilers for the new one, and luckily nothing has come out yet that's been like, this is gonna, you know, some huge, like there were some big things that happened in the movie, and if you're a big fan and you knew it was gonna happen before, it would suck. But I'm like looking at things knowing that something's gonna happen, I'm gonna find something out that I'm not gonna want to know before the next movie comes out, but I can't help it. I have to look at the spoiler.
Some people are just like that. Yeah. they need to know now, and I enjoy more the moment of it. I enjoy, you know, watching it. I don't have to. I'm less results based in those types of things. I enjoy sort of, you know, being in it at the time. That's where I get most of my enjoyment.
I guess, but I still can't believe you're not watching it.
Well, I will.
All right. So now on to the discussion. What we have in our show notes for today. Game of Thrones wasn't as much as I'd like for it to be. It wasn't in our show notes. No. All right. So there was a study that was published recently in Plus One, which is an online research journal, a very highly respected one. And I go to that a lot for a lot of the studies I myself look up. So it has the potential, this study has the potential to be extrapolated into something far more than what this study actually suggests. Basically, it's the 1 minute workout. If you've seen any articles online, you know, a few things have posted already. Oh, look, the 1 minute workout, this might change fitness, whatever it is. And it essentially took a very minor study. But the idea is based on high intensity interval training, which we haven't actually done a podcast on, but we need to. Yeah, we've talked about it. But basically, the idea is if you work out at very high level, high intensity in short bursts, you can work out in a shorter period of time and it'll improve many aspects of your fitness. So sure. There's definitely a lot of science behind it. And it's a way to work out that can work for some people, but not all people. And then this study tends in some ways kind of confirms it, but it does it in a way that like we're going to see we're going to see videos and apps and stuff based on the 1 minute workout, and it's going to mislead people into thinking that they can work out for 1 minute. I'll kind of explain a little bit briefly what the study, what the study is, and how to a small, very briefly talk about how it was conducted, and we'll leave the website. I'll leave a link to it in the show notes if you want to go into it further in further detail. You can find you'll find a link to the entire study in the show notes. So basically, the study was conducted over 12 weeks with two groups. So one group did traditional cardio, which is 45 minutes of regular moderate intensity cardio. Okay. So I think it was on a bicycle at 70% of maximum heart rate.
Okay.
So that's your normal standard level of like moderate intensity. The other group did what was called sprint interval training. So what they did was they would do 20-second all-out sprints on a bicycle. Mixed interspersed with 2 minutes, I believe, of very low intensity cycling,
just to keep moving
exactly. But so again, it would be 20 seconds all out, and so over the course of 10 minutes, they did 3 all out bursts of sprint of intense exercise, and so this was conducted over 12 weeks, and basically, after the 12 weeks, they found that both groups had similar results in oxygen uptake, which is essentially how efficiently how your body extracts oxygen from the blood. So they both increased by 19%, which is pretty significant. Now, sure. It's a sedentary group to begin with, so they're going to notice really significant results initially.
Well, that's huge because these are people that did nothing now doing something.
Yeah,
you know what we always say about doing anything as opposed to doing nothing? You're always going to see a big result, especially at first.
Okay, so that part, great results, but again, it's starting from a low level, so it's to be expected, but the results were similar.
Sure.
Insulin sensitivity increased in both groups, which similarly, and then skeletal muscle, mitochondrial content, a lot to talk about and stuff that we don't really discuss when we're talking about, oh, look at the benefits of exercise, but it is actually a significant benefit to exercise. It's not something that sounds very sexy. So those three were the main ones that they measured, and they all increased in both groups at similar amounts. So then as a result, you can kind of conclude that possibly doing these short bursts of intense exercise could be as beneficial for those three kind of parameters. They could be as beneficial as your traditional long-term cardio. Problem, as is always the case, is that people will take this and run with it, and they'll just talk about the great results you can get, and it'll be taken out of context. So that's, I guess, what I wanted to talk about. Hey, it's an interesting study. It does seem to confirm to an extent that yes, if you work out harder for a shorter time, it's kind of the quality of your exercise can many times be better than the quantity of exercise. But you have to ask yourself, there are a lot of questions you have to ask yourself before you decide to do this program. Which is, one thing. And another thing is, even in the study, it says, like, there are more studies that are needed. So this isn't, like, the be-all to end-all. I mean, you need to do it with, how about average people that are somewhat fit, people that are elite athletes. How do they benefit? How does that change?
What about weight loss?
What are your goals? So if your goal is weight...
Strength.
No, I mean, obviously, this isn't part of the study. But I can tell you that, if the goal is weight loss, well, that's, it's not going to have much of an effect, because you're not spending enough time. Because then weight loss has, there's a volume of work that's also involved, and also the diet is also involved. If you're looking to build muscle, again, you're not going to build muscle with 20-second bursts of exercise. You need to be lifting weights. Yep. So, while the high-intensity work is important, and I'm a proponent of it. I do high-intensity interval training, not, for 1 minute worth, but I do high-intensity interval training myself, and I love it. I think it's a great way to work out. You do need to understand it in context.
Sure. And I think that it all goes back to, something we talk about a lot, and it's not wanting to feel discomfort. we're always looking for a way in so many aspects of our lives to not have to feel pain, to not have to get down and dirty, to put the elbow grease in. And this seems like a prime example of that. You only have to do 3 20-second sprints and see, look, you get the same results as doing 45 minutes of cardio. And I'm just going to call BS on it. Yes, there are certain aspects, as the study said, that gave benefits to people that were sedentary. But you know, I'm just, as someone who's worked out my whole life, and I'm not a I'm not a researcher, I'm not a scientist, I know how my body would react. And yes, doing sprints. Now, let's say you did a whole bunch. Let's say maybe working out for doing 25 minutes where you do a ton of sprints, right, would be better than doing, or at least equal to doing, a lot of cardio. But this is three little sprints, right? There's just no way that overall, in terms of your fitness, that it's going to be that beneficial. Once again, better than nothing, and I don't care what the study says.
Well, you can't.
I don't care what the study says. I know, based on the criteria that they were mentioning, which was whatever they said, which makes it sound significant, right? The most important things with fitness, your heart health. I don't know. Did it mention anything about heart health there in the study?
I don't think so.
Right. Your weight. Your overall fitness, your being functional.
Well, you're kind of wrong. I'm gonna explain why.
It's misleading stuff.
No. The study's not misleading. If you read the study, the study's not misleading.
No study is misleading. It's the way that it's going to be.
The way that people will interpret will be misleading. But that's not their fault. They're doing the science. No, you're wrong. They're doing the science, and there's more to be done on this. So they're not wrong. What's wrong is how people will react and interpret that information. So, a couple things.
You do a study on something and you leave out the most important aspects, and then you do a few and say, see how this is good as that.
I mean, no, that's how stuff. But they're not saying that. They're saying here's what we measured. Here's what we did. Here's what we measured.
But
here's
exactly
the science.
They're saying that this is the proof. This is some sort of proof that that doing this workout is just as effective as doing that.
But
in terms of these three things,
which it is.
Right,
but so what?
That doesn't mean anything.
Well, it means a lot.
let's get a couple.
I gotta go back to something you said earlier. There's some irony in the ease of the workout. Oh, it's three simple sprints, because the problem is that those for it to be effective, those sprints have to be all out, and so not many people know what all out, maximum intensity work is. So that's part one of it. There's a certain level of pain that you're going to have to go through. So if you're going to do it, those 20-second bursts are going to be everything you have. Yeah. So that's a lot. Not many people know how that feels. Not some people do, but a lot of people don't. And so for some, they may be unwilling to do that. Yeah, you could do one 20-second, but that second 20-second, that would be hard. That's one thing. But to get back to the thing on the study, I mean, that's how research is conducted. You do one thing, you get some information, and then you do something else. So I wouldn't, there's nothing wrong with the study itself.
No, there's nothing wrong with the study.
More needs to be done on it. And it very well may be that, look, at the end of the day, the intensity of your work, the first one, which is essentially your VO2 max, your oxygen uptake, that's huge. If you're an endurance, not quite like a long distance endurance athlete, but if you're an athlete that participates in an explosive sport, that's huge. Even in basketball, any athlete that's in a sport that requires sprint, stop, sprint, and requires a good deal of cardio explosiveness, that's hugely important for them to know that doing shorter bursts of very intense exercise will help increase.
But it's not about whether. Here's the thing. It's not about whether doing shorter bursts is more effective or just as effective as doing long bits of cardio. It's doing three sprints.
Okay, but
if the study was saying, now if you do a lot of short bursts, we all believe that if you do, and we know this, that if you do short bursts, right, and you do a real solid workout, let's say a nice 30-minute workout where you do a ton of powerful intervals, we know how good that is and how awesome that is. But it's not saying that. It's saying you can do three of them.
Yeah,
and that it's equal to 45
minutes. But what if it is? Apparently it is. We need more studies.
Uptake or the way you hold oxygen, but it's very tough to say if in reality that it would help in terms of being practical. So now you're telling me that you take these people that were sedentary, mm-hmm. and you maybe they play basketball or something like that, which is one of those, you know, sport which is tricky because it's a stop start, and you have them do the 3 sprints, and then you have the other group that does 45 minutes of solid cardio. Mm-hmm. You really think that the 3 sprints are going to get the people in just as good a shape as that 45 minutes of cardio? Because think about all the other things that aren't being worked. When you do 45 minutes of cardio at solid intensity, right, you are working some muscle, a little bit of muscular endurance, right? Mm-hmm. You're also training the it's a little bit of psychological training to have to push through it.
But you're not really pushing through. You're pushing through the sprints. You're not pushing. I mean, assuming it's for sure, a 45-minute burst at 70% of your maximum heart rate isn't that hard. It's not easy. So the mental thing might be just, I'm bored, I don't want to do this anymore. But as far as like exerting yourself, that's the whole point.
But you're getting through something.
It's not as physically demanding as a sprint. So, but just the point.
But it's part of it is it's activity you're for used, 45 minutes.
Yeah, but
which
again,
is, which is versus a see, lot closer to which is a lot closer to participating in a sport where you're active for 45 minutes, and that's why. In fact, maybe doing 3 bursts would actually be detrimental because you so train your body to do so little that after a few little bursts, you're done.
It's funny how you've made me take the side of people using this and running with it, but I'm purely looking at just what is the data and what does it say, and I think that if you do this with athletes or you know general population on those variables, it's going to be the same. So the question you have to the whole point of us discussing this, I think, and trying to preemptively, if anyone's listening, you know, or anyone that is listening, get into their mind that they should be wary if they see the 1 minute workout is, you have to think about what your goals are.
Yeah.
No matter what the workout is. So if your goal, if you go into a workout, or, you know, fitness routine, and your goal is, I just want to increase my you know maximum oxygen uptake. Great. Then the sprint workout's going to work for you. Maybe even just doing 3 whole sprints. And I disagree with you to an extent. 30 minutes of sprinting is not effective.
I mean, like, if you're going to do all out work, 30 minutes, but I meant it was like solid intervals of varying degrees where you do different things.
Okay,
you
know, but that's different. That's a different kind of workout because you're not going at maximum intensity. If you do 30 minutes worth of work,
maybe for some of them,
if you're going max intensity, it's really hard to go more than 5 minutes. You know, if you're doing it with intervals, we can get back into other studies, which I don't want to talk about. Even
you know what, I'm not in incredible shape, but I did hill sprints somewhat recently, and I remember where I had to run up a hill, and I did real intensity. There were about 12 seconds.
I mean, but you're not in a clinical setting where they're checking your heart rate and your oxygen uptake, and they've got a biopsy to check it. So I mean,
quite a few of them.
But it's subjective. It's still very subjective. Well, so we're talking about a situation where there are things to measure where we can get a very very clear idea of how intense, relative to you, you're working. And no matter how hard you think the hill sprints are, and I'm not saying they weren't hard, the hill sprints are miserable, we don't know if you were really at what your max is or how close you were to your max.
But at certain points, I'm sure it was somewhere that close to it.
Okay.
I don't think I was at max at any point, but I did also a lot of them too.
Just point being that the person, anyone who's looking at something like this, you kind of have to stop and think, someone's going to try to sell you something. And now they've got, the 1 minute workout, we have research behind it. But then the 1 minute workout might be some, you know, doing some jumping jacks for 3 20-second period. And then, you know, that's the workout. So you just have to kind of think, what are my goals? Because the goal is like weight loss. 1 minute workout's probably not going to help you much with weight loss. If the goal is building strength, probably not going to help you that much. If you want to participate in a sport, some aspects of it might help, but it's probably not going to help you that much with endurance. If you want to run a marathon, 20 minutes, you know, so it just, you have to consider.
If you want to do a sprint, run a race.
If you want, if you're sprinting, or if you're in a sport that does involve some levels of high intensity work, there is this place for it. Yeah. So that's the other thing, is that it can't be your only weight protocol. Even if you're an athlete, maybe there is a point where you say, okay, you know what? For some athlete, part of their program, they should have one day where they do three all-out sprints, and that's their workout. But they're working so hard in that all-out period that they can't work out anymore. They're spent. So I'm just saying, I'm just throwing something out there. Yeah, exactly. That's part of their training. So no athlete's ever going to have, like, all my training is sprints. Like, that's just not going to happen. Even if you're a sprinter, like, you need to cross-train, and there's going to be certain things you have to add to your training. Yeah, so just that, be wary if you start seeing things all over the place about the 1 minute workout, because it's not, you know, you really have to dig deeper, and that's how it is with all studies.
And I think just what worries me about it is sort of what I mentioned earlier, is people wanting doing everything they can to avoid pain and discomfort.
But I would argue that the 1 minute workout would be far more painful and discomforting than a 45 minute.
That it's something that is very easy. Easy to psychologically prepare yourself for.
No,
that.
It's not.
Right.
Once you know what it feels like, it's not easy to psychologically
you get it out of the way. It's not monotonous. See, I'm not talking about just pure physical, you know, physical pain, but like working out for 45 minutes to an hour also takes a lot. It's hard. It takes a lot of mental strength to do a full workout. This is like, oh, I can get it out of the way. I'm not talking about just pure physical pain, because people will see, that's another thing. People will deal with that. They'll say, oh, if I, you know, I'll suffer the physical pain for a minute in order to get this full big workout in, and without having to do like part of the discomfort is having to work at something for 45 minutes to an hour of putting in real work. I'm not just talking about physical exertion, physical pain, right? In fact, I think a lot of people would trade that if they said, okay, you just have to go through a minute of, you know, in 20-second bursts, a minute of somewhat pretty uncomfortable pain, but intense. You could be in awesome shape. A lot of people would do that. 1 minute a day of you just feeling uncomfortable.
Well, if you guarantee awesome shape, sure, people
or
might
really,
do
good
it, but...
Or really good shape. It doesn't have to be like a bodybuilder or a fitness model, but you could say all you have to do is 1 minute a day and you'll be in really nice, decent,
honestly,
solid shape. I think a lot of people would do that.
I don't think so.
Oh, I think a lot of people.
I don't think
that.
So.
1 minute of one.
It
minute
sounds.
In 20
it's one of the things that sounds way better than it is. But trust me, once you do 20 seconds when you're doing all out work is a lot of time, and so
It's physically hard to keep up.
Yeah,
physically it's hard.
Yeah,
mentally
so,
I don't think it's.
Oh,
that
it's
absolutely.
It's mentally hard.
Well, you have to push. Well, you're pushing through, but I don't think it's mentally as taxing as having to do something. Well, we'll agree to disagree.
I think because the highs are higher and the low, like the 45 minute at 70% is not hard. You know, it's not like
it's not. It could be boring, and it's something that you have to take time out of your day for, and it's a whole process. Remember, we're thinking practically here. That's why this 1 minute workout could be so appealing.
You mean
we're
thinking subjectively here?
Well. Yes, but practically in terms of what people in their day, if they could just take out a minute or 10 minutes out of their day to do this workout, it's much easier than having to schedule time to go to the gym or go to a class. And then
but you still have to schedule time to go to the gym. You still have to warm up. You still have to cool down. You still have to shower. You know, it's still going to be time in the gym.
It seems like a lot less time.
I guess. So let's say 30 minutes less time in the gym.
Okay, that's fine.
I think the difference is everybody. You know what? I think part of it is your pain tolerance. If you can, like, just from experience, I've trained people who can tolerate intense pain, a lot of, you know, intense effort, and they just go with it. And then I know people who can't tolerate. Right. So I think part of it also has to do with what can you tolerate? Because at the end of the day, 3 20-second bouts doesn't sound that difficult. I mean, it doesn't sound that hard. It's, you know, it's easier. It sounds better than an hour or 45 minutes. For me, too. I hate running. So I hate getting, you know, going on a track for 45 minutes. So, but I think it really does, it then does come down to your pain tolerance, because, again, when we're talking about maximum intensity, that's a level that's different from what most people are used to.
With this whole maximum intensity thing, one thing we didn't really talk about, is it safe for people that's that another thing. Yeah, to go all out, is it okay for that heart?
Possible. What well, depends on the you know. There, right? Then there are other variables. How old is the person? What's their you know? In addition to their in addition to the old, yeah their age, their physical condition. Do they have any heart problems? Do they have any other illnesses or injuries? If you're doing all out, I mean, all out on the bike is going to be less impact than like sprinting all out. You know, outdoors or on a treadmill, but there's still potential joint injuries. There's, you know, how's a person's form? There's a lot involved. So you're right. You actually brought up a very important point that part of this also has to take into account. You know, the one thing you have to take into account is the athlete's physical condition and whether they're capable of doing that safely. So that's another thing to consider.
Yeah, because if you can't, I guess if you can't do it all out, then it defeats the point of the workout.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and you have to be in shape. And then, I guess, it's tough to say, all out is going to be different for different people, right?
Yes, unless you have a chance to measure your, you know, body, if, you know, again, it depends.
Even determine what all out is?
I mean, it depends on what you have. You could check your heart rate. You could do rate of perceived exertion, but that can be kind of subjective. You could check your heart rate if you're in a you know, some gyms will have access to machines. Not many gyms. You'd have to be in more of a clinical setting to get other, you know, other things. So you know, you're probably going to end up doing it based on your heart rate, which is still going to be, you know, you're not going
to
be
interesting thing for people that might want to choose to do this is exactly that. Could you trust yourself to go all out? You might even think you're doing it and you're not. Like, how do you really know?
Yeah, you do need an objective measurement.
But you get close to it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you would need some way to objectively measure. That's why I said, like, the heart rate would probably be the best. When I do it, when I do my own sprints, I mean, I'm doing sprints, but I'm also doing it on the treadmill because I can set, you know, you set the treadmill to 14. It's going to 14. You can't, you have to go at that speed.
Which seems like
if you try to do that on the track, that's not working out. You know, I can always slow down. So I think that's part of doing it on a treadmill that I like is that you know, same thing when people do cardio. The problem with like an elliptical machine or a bike for that matter is you know, people tend to bring the pace down. And, you know, the elliptical, it's not that they're not effective machines, but you need to push the pace to get your heart rate up on like an elliptical machine or on a bike, where on the treadmill, you set the treadmill to a speed, you have to go at the speed or you're going to fly off. So there's a benefit to having the machine basically, you know, tell you. So the other way to do that is just check your heart rate and say, okay, well, my heart rate's not high enough. I need to get it higher. So,
all right. So what do you guys think? Would you try a workout like this? What do you think when you hear the 1 minute workout? Does it just sound gimmicky? Does it sound like something that companies or, you know, gyms or whatever would jump on to try to, you know, get you to buy into it? What do you guys think? Would you participate in this, or would you maybe participate in it part of the time, maybe as a supplement to other workouts that you might do? Let us know what you think.
Yep. All right, well, I guess that's it for our Game of Thrones / 1 minute workout discussion.
Interesting discussions.
All right, well, as usual, all of our stuff is on our website. A little tired today. TheGymWits at Gmail.
I think you need to do the 1 minute
workout. Wow, I'm really out of it. It's thegymwits.com. Our email is thegymwits at gmail.com. You can find all of our social media stuff. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music. We have an app coming out soon.
Spotify too.
We're on Spotify. We're all over. So anywhere where you listen to podcasts, you can probably find us there if you're not already listening to us on that device or source. So that's it. As usual, I'm Ryan Jordan.
I'm Justin Gill, and aka Chef Sonic.
We are the Gymwits.